This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to Mom and Dad Are Fighting, Slate's parenting podcast for Thursday, February 9th, the after-school squabbling edition. I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. I write the homeschool and family travel blog, Dutch Dutch Goose. I'm the mom of three littles, Henry, who's 10, Oliver, who's 8, and Teddy, who's 6. And we live in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
I'm Jamila Lemieux, a writer and contributor to Slate's Care and Feeding Parenting column on Fridays. I have a daughter, Naima. She's 9 3/4, and we live in Los Angeles.
I'm Zach Rosen. I make a different show. It's called The Best Advice Show, and I live in Detroit with my family. My oldest, Noah, is 5, and my youngest, Ami, is 2.
Today, we're going to be talking about one of the hardest parts of the day, the period between after school and dinner. We'll be helping a dad whose kids can't keep it together after school and end up squabbling more often than not. We, of course, will also talk about our parenting triumphs and fails of the week. And if you're sticking around for Slate Plus, we're going to be talking about the new rules of the road for parenting etiquette. Here's what you'll hear if you have Slate Plus.
I thought that 120 was kind of messed up. Even when a kid's party says no gifts, you're supposed to bring a gift.
Agreed.
Like, people are very serious about that, you know, and I've encountered enough of them. We've encountered enough of them through the podcast and through Care and Feeding and, like, on the Facebook wall. Like, you would think it's not a big deal, but, like, there are people that are really hardcore about, like, no, we don't want this child being showered with gifts. And it just seems really obnoxious.
Yeah, respect their wish.
And I prefer when, you know, folks say gifts aren't necessary, you know what I mean? Like, it gives you the option if you really, really want to do something for them. And you also run the risk of, like, they might not give it to the kid. So now you might be putting this child through, you know, having to see it and know that they're not going to receive it.
Why would they write that? It's not performative when we're saying we don't want gifts. It's like, no, we don't want any more shit in our house.
As a Slate Plus member, you'll get a whole bonus segment from us each week, zero ads on any Slate podcast, and you get unlimited access to the Slate website. Plus, it truly is the best way to support our show. So I hope you'll join us if you can. You can sign up for Slate Plus now at slate.com/momanddadplus. Okay, we're going to dive into our week in parenting, but not before a quick break. See you back here in a second.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Talking about money can be so hard, especially when the person you're talking to is still learning how to do long division. That's why Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace, is here to help. I'm Bridget, and with my fellow co-host Ryan, we help teach your little ones about complex topics like bankruptcy, climate change, and why there's so much gold at Fort Knox, and so much more. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Zach, what's going on with you and the family this week?
So I have two connected things, one of which is going to prompt a question I have for the two of you. But the main thing is that for the last many years, I've been feeling like weekends are fucked. Like, I don't like weekends. I'm not looking forward to them. It's like, weekends aren't what they used to be before kids, right? Weekends are work, weekends are planning, weekends are logistic, weekends are not restful, right?
Mm-hmm.
But just recently, you know, my kids are 5.5 and 2.5. Weekends are starting to feel kind of nice. And I'm really excited about that. There is some peace and equanimity in the house. There is, you know, the kids are sleeping decent. I'm actually like excited to like do my Saturday morning ritual of making pancakes. And like even like the kids' activities, like we went to this really nice Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat is the Jewish holiday, basically celebrating the trees. We went to like a community Tu B'Shvat celebration this weekend, and it was so nice. Whereas like, I don't know, there have been times past where that kind of felt obligatory and not fun. I've been enjoying myself. And it makes me think of this moment that happened last week. We were watching my nephew's basketball game. He's in middle school. I was just like running around with Ami in the hallway of the school where the game was, because he's not just going to sit in the bleachers for the whole time. And we were playing with a ball, which I still like to do, even though I'm nearly 40. It's still fun just to roll a ball. And Ami was being very cute, obviously, because he's very cute. And this woman comes by and she goes, "Ah, this is the best. Like, this is the best time. Like, that's the best age." And like, that's, I hear a lot of people say this, that like, when kids are like really young, like this, in the snuggle zones, it's the best age. And I mean, it's been ecstatic for me lately. It feels great. But that also makes me think, like, so what does that mean for when my kids are 8 and 12 and 16? Like, is that not, I want it all to be great. Is that an unrealistic, you know, expectation? So I'm just wondering, like, do you think about stuff like, oh, that was great, and it's less great now? How do you think about that when people use that language?
I'm probably guilty of saying that those ages were the best age, you know, from time to time. I think that we mourn our children's previous stages throughout their lives, you know, like, yes, when they were 4, we were mourning babyhood, you know, mm-hmm, what I mean? So mm-hmm, even though there might have been things that were a relief, like not having to change diapers or, you know, sleeping through the night, you know, you still miss that sweet little snuggly baby, you know? Mm-hmm, so I feel mm-hmm like I miss every stage that Naima's been. And yes, though, that particularly little and sweet time, this is before they start really challenging you. Mm. You know, like when they step into themselves and they turn 7 or 8 and, you know, start having really around 8, you know, they start having these strong opinions and they disagree with you and they mm-hmm have a bad attitude sometimes. It changes things, you know, yeah, but I would still say this is a wonderful time, you know, and that I am delighted to and really enthusiastic about loving and parenting this child. So I don't think that goes away, you know. I think it becomes more trying in certain ways, you know. There's nothing like somebody who's just the snuggle stage, you could call it, you mm-hmm know, the snuggle stage kid. But my kid is still snuggly, you know, good, like good. At nearly, she'll be 10 next month, she still gets in my lap. You know, aww, like she is a sweet, snuggly thing. And some of that is, you know, part of her being a kid who's lived through the COVID era. The ones in her peer group are in a slightly different place developmentally than they would have been, you know. But I'm enjoying this extended snuggle period, you know, and I hope it lasts forever.
Yeah.
But I know that it's always going to be great loving her. So I don't think you're going to enjoy parenting less. I just think there's going to be something about it that you're going to probably really miss.
Yes. Beautifully said.
I think as a self-protective measure, we forget a lot of the bad stuff, right? Like, I think that about childbirth, yeah, all the time. If I had remembered truly, I may not have had subsequent, yeah, children. And I think that about a lot of this. Like, it's so easy to look back and see a little kid running down the hall, right, and be like, oh, I wish my kid is different now. They don't,
right,
they don't do that. And like Jamila said, mourning. I, though, live in fear of spending too much time looking back and thinking about things that have passed. And so I constantly need to think about the positive things that are coming.
Yeah.
Like, I sometimes have a hard time like looking back too much, even at pictures or things like that, for fear of being sad, which I know that is like enough to unpack in many, many rounds of therapy.
Mm-hmm.
But it does keep me, like Jamila said, saying like, when they were that age, I felt like, gosh, I can't wait to share these favorite books with them, or I can't wait to share right. this with them. And like, how exciting when he can throw the ball, right? How exciting right. when you can like go play an actual game, or like when they all can play a board game, or you all can mm-hmm. actually have a family movie night with a movie you want. Like, all of those have been really enjoyable experiences that we have grown into as well.
We you feel know? So much better. Thank you both.
Also, there's nothing you can do about it.
Time marches on.
Time marches on. Jamila, how about your week?
So I was going to use this, I think, as my fail last week, and I had another option. But last week, Naima wanted to wear her hair. Like, hair is a constant struggle for us. One, I'm not the best hairdresser, so I don't have that arsenal, like the little girl who has all the different hairstyles and the different braids and the different ponytails and puffs. And I'm not that mom. I'm just not, I'm not that. I have very basic hairstyles that I can do. And we try, luckily Naima's stepmother can braid, like she braids her hair sometimes, like it's great, but it was, on me last week to do her hair, and I washed it, which is always traumatic. And the next day she wanted to wear it like in a kind of out style, And I was like, oh, it's not a good idea. It's going to be so tangled. And she's like, please, please, please. And like, she wins. And then she comes home the next day and her hair is so tangled. And she's like, I shouldn't have worn it out. You were right. And I'm like, ah. So we go through this traumatic detangling, And then another day that week, she wanted to wear her hair in a kind of like in a puff, like in a, at the back of her head, which means all the curls are out. Like, I try to keep her hair in some braids, Like, unfortunately, I can't do fancy braids. And she feels like the hairstyles that I do look very childish, But it's the best I can do, and it protects her hair, so it's, yeah. it doesn't get all tangled. And it still looks very cute. She wants the puff. I give in. She gets the puff. The hair is tangled. We go through this again. And so yesterday she came home from her dad's house, and her stepmother had washed her hair, and she put it in a single braid, but like it was like a sleep braid, So I got up and tried to, redo the braid this morning, and Naeem was all like, it looks horrible. She blew it out. I want to wear it. Like, she didn't blow it straight, but she blew it out big or whatever, And she's like, I want to wear it out. And so I gave in and I let her wear it out. And so I'm claiming the fail now, because when she comes home tonight, we're going to be back at our traumatic hair combing. And the fact that I've allowed this to happen three times in the week. And on the other hand, I'm like, she deserves to enjoy her hair, and like to wear styles that make her feel good.
She's asking for it.
Sometimes I think Naima's going to call the people on me. She gets so upset.
Oh my God.
Why
Noah
you're
too.
It? Why? Yes. So you really are paying the price.
Yes. Yes.
The shrieking.
There are tears, the shrieking.
Yep.
It's a whole thing every time.
And it's not, the thing is, like, it's not something she can do herself, right?
She's starting to experiment with doing it herself, like braiding it for sleep. She doesn't always get all the tangles out, so I'm, her dad was kind of like, well, that's how she'll learn. I'm like, no, we got to get the tangles out. So, but we are working toward that.
They don't ever magically come out.
No. But we're working toward her doing it on her own, which is a good thing. She would prefer to do it on her own. I just have to make sure it's fully detangled.
It's hard, but I think you're doing the right thing. You can still claim it as a fail because it sounds terrible. But
that's fair. That's Agreed. Very fair. Okay. New perspective.
New frame. What about you, Elizabeth?
I don't know if I'm taking a triumph or a fail, but guys, Thursday was like just a day. And I cried in the pantry at least once. I cried in my closet at least once. Thursdays are kind of a mess because like all three go to occupational therapy in the morning. And then my friend Michaela and I like have them run through music class. Teddy has to leave again for speech therapy. And so it's a lot of moving pieces. And we've tried to do it other ways and it really doesn't work. So we're kind of stuck with this schedule. And then Teddy was just a complete pill. We got to speech therapy. And as a backstory, Henry's really into magic. So we've been watching a lot of like Penn and Teller. Well, at speech therapy, Teddy decided to be Teller, which in case you don't know, is the silent magician. And so decided to like sign to the speech therapist. And I honestly just said to her, I'm so sorry. I don't know what to do. He has to go with you and you're going to have to figure this out because I don't know what to do. Apparently, she worked her magic and he did like make just the letter sounds, nothing. He signed everything else.
Wow.
I get back to the house after all of this and Michaela has everyone working, but like two of the kids are crying about things that are just, we don't even know, right? They're not crying about the work. They're just like upset. I just start like cleaning. I get really warm. I mean, it's cold here in Colorado. I get really warm and I like strip down to my tank top and Michaela looks at me and says, I think you're dysregulated. I think you should go for a walk. And I was like, oh my gosh, I am. Yeah. I am just completely dysregulated from the day. I am incapable of handling like any of this. Michaela took all the kids outside. It was cold. She was just like outside. And we took a little walk. She kind of kept an eye on the kids. I walked back down the street by myself. Yeah. We regrouped. She left with her kids. And I just thought, thank goodness I like have this friend who's willing to be like, you are a mess.
Yep.
It's okay. You know, I cried like three more times that day, like for no, just like complete overwhelming with the parenting stuff. And then when you're in that like dysregulated place, you know, I start thinking like, well, I'm not doing enough for Oliver's writing. I'm not doing enough for Henry's math. Like they're net, like I just can get into that cycle,
yeah.
But I survived the day and the weekend was better.
That's legit. And I'm really happy that you have Michaela. And Elizabeth, have you done the date that we talked about you doing, your solo date?
No. That's probably why I'm having a break.
It's time.
It's okay. Definitely time. It's so important, Elizabeth. You have to just do it.
All right, guys. Well, I'm going to take my date. I'm going to report back next week that I did something.
Yes.
Even just 2 hours on my own. It's going to happen. Good. So on that note, we're all going to take a quick break. It won't be 2 hours, though. We'll see you back here for our listener question.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.
All right, it's time for our question, which is being read, as always, by the fantastic Shasha Leonard.
Dear Mom and Dad, we have a 6-year-old son and a 3-year-old son. Our 6-year-old was homeschooled last year, but loves school this year. His teacher constantly gives him great reviews for his behavior and enthusiasm for learning. Unfortunately, our difficulties begin when he gets home from school. Our two boys cannot seem to coexist for more than a couple of minutes before they start arguing and fighting. I cannot step away for a few minutes without having to come back to intervene. It's so difficult some days. My wife and I take one each just to keep them separated. But typically, they both want to be with their mom, and she's usually preoccupied. Our 6-year-old does not seem to have much patience with his younger brother. He gets frustrated when his brother can't play like his classmates. I've tried to explain that they're not in the same place developmentally, and he needs to adjust his expectations. To be fair, his younger brother will tantrum, lash out, and make impossible demands of his big brother, all of which provoke and can lead to their clashes. I wonder if part of this stems from my 6-year-old being tired after school, and I tried to encourage some alone time to recharge, but he usually refuses. I've also tried to encourage separate play and invite one to help me in the kitchen. Both suggestions get refused. They're only better when I'm there to referee, but I need to get the household chores done. How can we get through the difficult hours between after school and dinner? When they play well together, it's such a joy, but that's so rare these days. Thanks. Love the show and appreciate the fails that make me feel like a normal parent. Best regards, a dad struggling after school.
I feel you, Dad. Thanks for writing in. I've got a couple things, and then I definitely want to hear what you two have to say. So you're making these suggestions. You're suggesting that they do some separate play. You're suggesting that one of them comes into the kitchen with you. These are good ideas, but I wonder if the suggestions need to be more come into the kitchen with me, imposing some order and not letting them just totally dictate where they're going to be and what they're going to be doing there. So actually making some kind of routine, like, older boy, you're baking cookies with me, pal. And your brother is going to go play, ball with mom. That's what's going to happen. You don't have to be a fascist about it. You can make it fun, but actually, like, coming up with this plan, talking to them before, like, okay, tomorrow when you come home from school, we're going to actually do this new thing. It's going to be fun. You're going to do this. We're going to do that. So that's one suggestion. Another thing, this is just a reminder, and I know you know this, but it's not going to always be like this. Your three-year-old is going to mature, and they're going to be able to, like, enjoy the same thing together. But this is just a tough age where a six-year-old is really advanced in a lot of ways, in ways that the three-year-old isn't. So there is going to be some dissonance in just what they're excited about and what they get into. So this is temporary. And then another thing, and I feel you big time on this, like, the chores need to get done. But, like, leave the chores for now. The dishes are going to get washed. The floor is going to get swept. But for now, at least for like the first half hour when kids get home from school, if you're fortunate enough to where it sounds like you're both there, get in there with your wife and your kids where it might work out where the four of you can be together. But if not, like, leave the chores and do something and actually just focus on them for a little while. Let them know how much you love them. I'm sure you do that already. See what that does. So those are my two initial suggestions. But I know that you're trying really hard, it sounds like, and this certainly is a struggle.
I definitely want to reiterate the part about reimagining your approach to encouraging them to do other things. And, like, I was giggling because I was like, suggestions?
Yeah.
These aren't suggestions. These are rules. This is what we do. This is our routine, you know? And play with your routine. Don't commit yourself to something before, you know, you've seen some success with it. But, like, give something a try. Like you said, older one comes and helps with cooking or has to have some quiet reading time or quiet play with toys time, you know, but like he does need time to decompress coming from school. Like he does need to relax a little bit and jumping right into his already wild relationship with his brother is not the best way for him to decompress coming from school. So let him sit down with a book. If they get screen time, this is a good time to use it. You know, don't save it for later in the day. Like, let them get it out the way now. I was going to push back, Zach. I was like, I wonder if, like, not push back entirely, but when you said just kind of like, you know, the chores would be there, I wonder if this is the time at which he has to complete them, you know? Because, like, if his wife is preoccupied, it may be that this is, you know,
maybe part he works of nights or something.
Something. So, you know, if there are chores that you can put aside, of course, put them aside. But if you can't, the kids just have to do what you've asked them to do. And that's simply that, you know, or there's no ice cream. But they don't get to decide how they're going to spend their afternoons.
I'm going to triple endorse the you are in charge, not them. Like, I just think kids are such bad decision makers at this time of the day that they're never going to choose the quiet time, right? They're, like, hopped up from school, and there's a lot going on, and I think they can sense the, like, kind of the chaos of the situation. And not that they're trying to bring chaos, but kids tend to kind of run wild with that, you know, like, what can I get away with? Can I get this? I think any kind of routine here that you can set up, be it that these are the same things that happen, so you do a rotation. I think you can still, if you're big on giving choice, you can still give choice. You know, do you want to help me sweep the floor or make dinner? That is a choice. Do you want to play with the Magna Tiles or listen to an audiobook, you know, while you play Legos? There are those choices.
Yeah.
But no kid is ever going to choose quiet time, in my experience.
Yeah.
I think particularly if you want this independent play, I've talked about this before, you're going to have to give 5 minutes or so to get them into the play, particularly at these ages. So if you can schedule into kind of your mental thing, like when they come home, you know, maybe you go spend 10 minutes sitting with your six-year-old in his room. How was your day? Having that conversation. And it ends with a nice, like, do you want me to turn on an audiobook? Do you want me to do this? And I'll see you in 10 minutes, right? Like, I think those routines can cue the next thing, or at this time, we're going to do this next thing. And I think your chores can be built into that, and they can include the kids. I mean, assign the kids something they have to do, even if it's only semi-helpful. If everything is just a mess, use the screens, man. This is such a great time to just say, we watch this one show right now when you get home, or we listen to this one podcast episode and everybody draws, right? Like, I think there are ways that you can just say, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah. And I wonder if this is pie in the sky, but it might be empowering to have a conversation with your older boy, not at this time, but when he's calm, maybe before bed, or pick a good time, and kind of talk about problem solving with him. Like, I notice, you know, after school, it's pretty hard. Like, what would make it better for you? And so you're giving them some agency, empowering them somehow to problem solve. Might be worth a shot.
Jamila, what does Naima do right after school?
Well, Naima is in an after school program this year for the first time since first grade. So we usually get home around between like 5:30 and 6, and we do dinner at 7. So like, if she has homework to finish, she'll do that. Otherwise, like lately, we've been playing board games. I used to kind of allow, you know, her to get into her screen, and like I would do my own thing when we get home. But the way I do it now is that we start off having time together. You know, I usually make dinner before she comes home, so I just have to heat it up and stuff when it's time to eat.
So focusing that time, I think that's a good, like, she knows she's going to get that time with you.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
One way or another. Mm-hmm. That's so nice. Mm-hmm. Ugh, I think it's a tough time for everyone, though.
Totally. So,
yeah.
Struggling dad, good luck. We definitely want to know what's working, what's not working. What else are you trying? I'm sure people out there, though, if you're listening, you definitely have ideas. We'd love to hear what you're doing with your kids after school, or how you're, you know, handling this same squabbling issue at your house. So please leave us a voice memo, send us an email. Of course, it's momanddad@slate.com. You can also send us questions of your own. Seriously, we are here to help, and we genuinely want to know what you want to hear us talk about. No question is too big or too small. It's not too weird. So please send them in. Again, you can email us at momanddad@slate.com. And that's it for our show. We'll be back in your feed on Monday. Please subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts so that you'll never miss an episode. This episode of Mom and Dad Are Fighting is produced by Rosemary Belson and Maura Curry. Alicia Montgomery is VP of Slate Audio. For Jamila Lemieux and Zach Rosen, I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. Thanks for listening.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.